So our next speaker is Tess Thompson. Tess Thompson has a master's degree in Victorian literature from Oxford and a master of public health from Washington University in St. Louis. She's currently a doctoral student in social work at Washington University in St. Louis, studying narrative health communication and the effect of family on health. Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk to you today about effective family context on African-American women's use of family health history tools. And I'd like to give a shout out to Kim Cappinks, who can't be here today, but this is really the study that she designed and implemented, and she's also been a great mentor to me for the past 2 years while I was getting my Master of Public Health. So I have no relationships to disclose. As you all probably know, family health history is a risk factor for many common chronic diseases, including common cancers, and it can guide screening and prevention for multiple conditions. But to do that, if practitioners want to stratify risk based on family health history, they need to have information about the diseases that biological relatives had and the age of onset. And one way that people are being encouraged to collect family health history is through family health history tools. And right now there are over 75 tools that are available for public use. However, there are some research gaps. Family health history tools, most of them take a clinical genetics approach looking at diseases. And they may not consider social or family context. They're based on biological relatedness. There are a couple of newer tools that look at social and family context that encourage people to collect not only disease-based information, but also health behavior information and also family stories. But most family health history tools have been tested with primarily Caucasian populations. There hasn't been a lot of research looking at underserved populations. So for our study, we wanted to look at how family context and health communication patterns within the family influence African American women's use of family health history tools. So for our study, we used a mixed methods design. It was qualitative and quantitative. And we interviewed 32 African American women, half of whom had a previous diagnosis of cancer. And these were all women from the St. Louis metropolitan area. And we chose that population for a couple of reasons. First, as I mentioned before, most of the family health history tool research has involved primarily Caucasian samples. Also, there's been some indication in the literature that people with chronic diseases such as cancer may be more likely to collect family health history information. We also know from previous research that women tend to be more likely than men to collect family health history information. So we used two different family health history tools in our study. The first was the Surgeon General's My Family Health Portrait, which is one of the most popular family health history tools. And that's available as a paper version or online. And then we also used a newer tool, which is the Genetic Alliances Does It Run in the Family tool. And for the purposes of this study, we customized it with culturally tailored stories and pictures. So our study design had two main parts. There was an in-person interview that lasted about 90 minutes. That was our baseline interview. And for that, we had open-ended and closed-ended questions. Then for the second part of the interview, we asked them to use My Family Health Portrait tool, the online tool. We gave them a computer, and we asked them to start creating a family health history pedigree. And then we asked them about their reactions to the tool. And then at the very end of the study, we gave them a choice of two paper family health history tools to take home. So there was the Genetic Alliance tool, and then there was also a paper version of My Family Health History that they could use. So we let them look over the tools, we asked them to pick one, and we told them we'd be contacting them in 3 weeks, regardless of whether they had used the tool. So we said that they could use it if they wanted to. So then 3 weeks later, we conducted follow-up phone interviews. And we asked people if they had discussed family health history with their family, whether they had used the tool, and whether they were satisfied with the tool. Our open-ended baseline questions included family definition. So that was questions such as, how do you define family generally? There was some concern in the literature that, especially with minority populations, the biological, medical-based family health history tools might not be a good way, a good match for how people are actually defining families in their daily lives. So, for example, with African-American families, there's some question about whether fictive kinship or extended families are really a good match with some of the family health history tools. So we wanted to know how people defined family generally. Also about family communication patterns. So we asked them, who would you ask about diseases that run in your family? We wanted to know if there was anybody in their family who tracked family health history information, and if so, who it was. And then after they had finished working on My Family Health Portrait online, we asked for their reactions to that. Then for the close-ended questions, we also asked some questions about perceptions of family health history importance, prior family health history collection. We had close-ended questions about reactions to the family health history tool. We had some scaled items for that. We asked them about their cancer screening history. We had a health literacy item and also collected demographic information. So for analysis, we started with an initial code book that was based on the literature. And then we read through all of the 32 transcripts and added some deductively derived codes based on what we had read. Each transcript was coded by two independent trained coders using Atlas TI, and then the final analysis was based on consensus codes, and consensus, when necessary, was reached with the whole study team. And then we used SPSS to analyze the descriptive statistics. So you can see from the participant characteristics here, the average age was about 55. Most of our participants had completed high school, and about a third were married or partners. Partnered. And you can see from the three columns here that we broke people up initially by personal history of cancer. However, when we started looking at the transcripts, we didn't see any differences in the qualitative responses from people who had had cancer and people who hadn't. So for our final analysis, we collapsed those two categories. And you can also see from this chart that it was a pretty compliant population with cancer screening. At baseline, most people endorsed the idea that family health history was important and knowing family health history of cancer was important. They had high self-efficacy for collecting family health history information. Just over half reported having collected family health history previously, but then when we asked the question, did you collect it and write it down, it was less than a quarter. And that's something that comes up again in our later results, the distinction between collecting family health history and writing it down. We had four main qualitative themes that came out from the data. The definitions of family varied widely. The most common was biological, so people would say family was blood, although often then they would qualify that. And also legal relatedness, such as adoption. Then people also used the standard of emotional closeness, proximity, or social interaction. And one important thing that we found was we didn't see any evidence that differing definitions of family affected the use of family health history tools. And we actually had a few participants say explicitly that they used different definitions of family for different purposes. So, for example, this participant said, for me, all families are not blood related, but for purposes of collecting family diseases and histories, yes. The second qualitative theme was communication. When we asked people who they would ask about diseases that run in their family, they were likely to ask, in general, older female relatives about family health history information. And that wasn't terribly surprising, given what we've seen in the literature. So one participant said, for example, my mother is the matriarch. She's the oldest in the family, and she would know more than everybody else. You know, she would be aware. When we asked people, though, who they would discuss their own health with, the answers were there was a wider range of answers. So people would talk to their parents, people mentioned spouses, and people would also talk about their own health with their children. And often that was in the context of trying to get their children to lead healthier lifestyles. And for that, it was both people mentioned both the role and emotional closeness or characteristics of the relative. So they might choose one sister over another because she was a good listener or she was a nurse. The third qualitative theme was documentation, and here we find most participants did not document family health history information in any formal way at baseline. People, as I mentioned, said that they keep track in their head, or they keep track by sharing information verbally, but people are not writing it down. And when they looked at the printout from the Surgeon General's tool, a lot of people acknowledged that it would be good to write it down, but they said that they weren't currently doing that. So one participant said, for example, no, nobody really documents family health history information. Just everybody just knows it in their head. You know, nobody has it written or anything like that. And then finally, the fourth qualitative theme was barriers to collecting family health history information. And the barriers mentioned by our participants, some of the most common were concerns about privacy. So sometimes they wouldn't want to share their own family health or their own health information with relatives that they saw as gossiping. And also causing conflict. So sometimes older relatives wouldn't want to share information, and so they didn't want to upset people by asking them to share something they didn't want to share. And then one thing that we found that we could only find one other instance of in the literature was the idea of not wanting to own or claim a disease. And so some people talked about denial in general, but a couple people mentioned a specific form of denial that was in part motivated by religion. And also not wanting to think negatively. So one person said, some people feel like when you talk about something, you're claiming it. So you've like accepted it. But if you don't talk about it, you don't claim it. So that was something that we found really interesting and think needs to be explored in future research. So for our follow-up data, when we called them after 3 weeks, most people said they discussed family health history. We actually had to change our follow-up questions, though, because we were asking people if they had used the family health history tool, and people were saying yes, but then indicating that they hadn't written down any information. So we wanted to be very clear about whether people used it to promote discussion or used it to actually write down information. So most people said that they used the tool, two-thirds of them, but then only less than one-third said that they used it and wrote down information, which is disappointing, because if people are going to take it into their care providers, it helps to have it in written form and also helps people have it more accurately written. And here I want to mention, too, that our study was primarily powered to be a qualitative study. So we can't talk about statistical differences between the subgroups. You can see, though, that the people who chose Does It Run in the Family, we had 44% of them who used the tool and wrote down information, and 10% of the people who chose My Family Health Portrait. So that's something that should definitely be explored in larger samples. And then people were generally pretty positive about using the tool. They said that they were satisfied and they had a good experience using their tool. And this also fits with people's responses to the My Family Health Portrait online tool that they used. People said that that was a good fit for their family and it enabled them to see patterns in their family health history. So in general, we found people are pretty satisfied with these two tools. So our limitations were it was a convenient sample from one Midwestern metropolitan area. As I mentioned, the study wasn't powered to detect quantitative differences between the subgroups, and the tool choice wasn't randomized. We let people choose whichever one they liked. So the main points are most participants didn't use their tool to write down family health history information. So that's something that we need to think about additional steps that can encourage collection of written family health history information. One thing I'd like to point out is that during the study, everybody started to create the beginnings of a family health history. So that suggests that possibly in-person encouragement are structural factors. So for example, having somebody, the office staff at a doctor's office, encourage people to start creating a family health history could be helpful. Or also mailing it out to people in advance of a provider visit. And then finally, we didn't see any evidence that different family definitions were causing problems in the use of family health history tools. As I mentioned, people seemed pretty satisfied with both of the tools. And one comment we got from a couple participants was that they liked both. They thought that they could be used together pretty well and have one inform the other. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and the other people who worked on the study. And this was funded by a grant from the National Cancer Institute. And do we have time for questions?
Yes,
I okay.
do, sure.
Yeah. Are there any questions? Yeah.
This work conducted some kind of engineering study. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it was a church group or a civic group. Do you think that people with, like I mentioned earlier, that they have to write this down?
Well, I mean, I think one thing that it really would help is to be explicit about encouraging people to write it down. And so I'm wondering if that's the sort of thing that would be very helpful coming from a doctor I mean, if doctors want to encourage people to use family health history. Our genetic counselor, who was part of our study team, said that her practice had started requiring patients to fill out a family health history in advance of a visit. And they see it actually as an indicator of, is the person committed to showing up for the visit? So I think structural factors like that could be good. It just seems like it's not a norm to write down this information. And so I think there need to be structural incentives in place to get people to write it down.
You know, kind of think of it with the online training, University of Michigan, health system has 2 months ago started requiring the nurses, the intake nurses, to take down a family history.
Oh, really?
The questionnaire the person was given right before they see the doctor. So it becomes mandated. I'm not thinking of the universal practice, but it's one way of doing it.
Well, and it seemed like the sort of thing that you could ask the office staff to just, or a nurse to spend a minute or two to encourage people to write it down. But I think you're right. If you start mandating it, then people will do it. Yes.
I wonder, I mean, I think it's more than just writing it down to give it to the provider, but these are very valuable to families. Mm-hmm. And if somehow in your work with them, like if you could generate a family history for them, whether it's, I don't know exactly what it looks like, but certainly family trees that actually show individuals and show different significant problems are very powerful tools for the family members. And if they had something like that, it seems to me there might be opportunities for them to take it more seriously.
Well, and people said when they were looking at the pedigree created by the My Family Health Portrait that it helped them see patterns in their family health history.
Did they
could
get a
see
copy?
Different, they, if they wanted a copy, that the IRB was didn't want us to keep any information. But they really thought that that was positive. However, 3 weeks later, they still hadn't written down the information. So one of the barriers that came up in the follow-up was just lack of time. And so people think it's a great idea, but it's just not a priority. So that's why I think having some kind of structural encouragement helps it rise to the level of a priority.
So.
Well, we didn't really have language like that because we were mostly asking them the questions, but there was one participant in particular who very vividly was saying, African-American families don't have this information when you go back too far, and it's because we've been discriminated against. And so she was very eloquent about that. But I think that might be a good way to, especially not have people feel guilty if they can't find the information, to just realize that it might not be there. Thank you.
Thank you.